The beast struggled forward, broke the ring, and fell over the steep edge of the rock to the sand by the water. At once the crowd surged after it, poured down the rock, leapt onto the beast, screamed, struck, bit, tore. There were no words and no movements but the tearing of teeth and claws. Then the clouds opened and let down the rain like a waterfall. The water bounded from the mountaintop, tore leaves and branches from the trees, poured like a cold shower over the struggling heap on the sand. Presently, the heap broke up, and figures staggered away. Only the beast lay still, a few yards from the sea. Even in the rain they could see how small a beast it was, and already its blood was staining the sand. Now a great wind blew the rain sideways, cascading the water from the forest trees. On the mountaintop, the parachute filled and moved. The figure slid, rose to its feet, spun, swayed down through a vastness of wet air, and trod with ungainly feet the tops of the high trees. Falling, still falling, it sank toward the beach, and the boys rushed screaming into the darkness. The parachute took the figure forward, furrowing the lagoon, and bumped it over the reef and out to sea.
That was awful. The boys were like a pack of wolves tearing apart a sheep. Did you get who it was they killed? It was Simon, trying to tell everyone that the beast was just a dead guy on the mountain. Most of the way through, the narrator called him the beast, though. That was confusing at first, but when you think about it, it's like we were looking at him through the eyes of the hunters. It's hard to believe, though, that they thought Simon was the beast that whole time. It's almost like they just needed to kill something, the way a crowd can get out of hand sometimes. I guess we were right about what the bad weather meant. Let's finish the chapter now. Start after the space on page 153, with the paragraph that starts, "Toward midnight."
Toward midnight, the rain ceased and the clouds drifted away, so that the sky was scattered once more with the incredible lamps of stars. Then the breeze died too, and there was no noise save the drip and trickle of water that ran out of clefts and spilled down, leaf by leaf, to the brown earth of the island. The air was cool, moist and clear, and presently even the sound of the water was still. The beast lay huddled on the pale beach, and the stains spread inch by inch. The edge of the lagoon became a streak of phosphorescence which advanced minutely as the great wave of the tide flowed. The clear water mirrored the clear sky and the angular bright constellations. The line of phosphorescence bulged about the sand grains and little pebbles. It held them each in a dimple of tension, then suddenly accepted them with an inaudible syllable and moved on.